We want to go in the front door for Qatar 22, right, Steven? That, we want to go in the front door for that. Get in that hex. Battle on.
Get in that hex. Every time I think of the word hex, I think of Arash Madani in San Pedro Sula in sweating through his clothing as Canada lost, what, 7-0 was that game?
Every goal brought on more sweat.
Yes.
Yeah, I think what he said, like,
sounds nice.
Cows outside the hotel room were waking him up, and fire alarms were being pulled the night before on our fine, brave men.
That's what happens when we start to believe we're getting into the hex. So Arash will have second thoughts about all of this.
And third and fourth thoughts.
Yeah.
So we talked about the Antonio Brown story earlier today. You know, if only, and I think Ashley would lament this too, if only sports was about wins and losses and trades and signings and managers and players fighting. This is as old as a kind of story. He said, she said. People can go to the OJ story as the biggest sports story. 3 years earlier, you could probably never forget how big a story the Mike Tyson rape conviction was. And here we are 28 years down the line. And not to judge the case, but I think the Patriots have a call to make here, at the very least, potentially, to remove him from practice today and not let him play Sunday until they know more about this and can get in a room with him. I don't know that practicing him today is too strong a support for an organization that's trying to do the right thing here and knew that this guy came with baggage, but they weren't expecting this.
Well, although the one point of differentiation, and it's an important one to note, is that this is a civil action. This is not a criminal prosecution. You know, Mike Tyson, that was a criminal prosecution.
Of course.
So there are no charges have been laid here, and I don't know that there's even the suggestion the charges are going to be laid. So that, you know, look, the Patriots can play this. There are different ways they can decide to play this, but that would be one way they could go. And again, I'm not saying there's nothing here. I have no idea. I literally have no idea. But anybody can launch a civil suit against somebody. It doesn't have to raise to any particular bar. You just have to pay a lawyer. So this could be what it seems to be, or it could be nothing. And you're right, though. The Patriots are going to have a very interesting decision for them to make. And I would think, as you suggested, if I was them, I would try and buy some time.
What do you say to people that have the take and the opinion that, well, it's not really fair because any woman can go out and make these accusations and effectively ruin or taint or color any professional athlete's legacy career, because this is something that's going to stick with them even if they are proven to be innocent. We are in an era where Me Too is a huge movement, where we are trying to convince people to believe victims when they come forward because they have a lot more to lose a lot of times than they do to gain. But there's still people saying, hey, maybe she's lying, maybe she's exploiting. And that's the stance that Antonio Brown's camp is taking.
Well, you know, again, I think we should listen to people when they make complaints. I think we should take them seriously. But the standard our standard in society is that you don't have to prove yourself innocent, that someone else has to prove you guilty. You know, that's how the system works. So again, I have no idea what we're dealing with here. And I think actually kind of speculating on it from this distance, I'm not sure where this gets us. Because I don't think any of us know what's going on here. I will await further word, let's put it that way, before kind of deciding whether this is fair or unfair, or Antonio Brown should play football or shouldn't play football, because I'm in the dark on this, and I think we all are, frankly.
Yeah. Pats need a lot more information, and they you said they could buy time. They've got they got 4 days before Sunday. Whether he even travels to Miami or not has to still be up in the air, and I bet you 24 hours from now we know a lot more than we do right now. Let's go to happier stuff. Bianca Andreescu, she'll be on Tim and Sid, by the way, after 5 o'clock today, talking at 11. This is really something, and I'm glad. I know Carolyn made the point with you and Jeff Blair yesterday. Doesn't feel fluky. This was about going after. I know Serena hasn't had a great Grand Slam final record since she's returned from and become mother, but this to me was an athlete that just went out and got it. And I don't know, with all the inconsistency of WTA players, Stephen, she's made global news. This is not a national story. This is a global story with how dominant her year has been and her win in Flushing Meadows.
Yeah, it is. I think we've all got to look. I think you're right. It's not fluky. And she has game. She has a varied and really interesting game. And I think you saw it on display there. I'm not sure what prime time, what the absolute best of Serena looks like at age 37. But that was close enough. She had trouble with her first serve, but I think the pressure from Andreescu was part of that. She needed to serve her. To have a great first serve, to have a chance to win that match. And that tells you also something about Andreescu and how good she is. No asterisk, no nothing that way. This is the real deal. She just beat the greatest player in history. I do think it's going to be interesting. One of the things when I wrote about this over the weekend, it occurred to me that none of us, unless you're a really hardcore tennis fan, like a hardcore tennis fan who paid attention to the Mexican Open in Acapulco in March, that would be pretty hardcore. I'm not sure how you'd even see it. But none of us have seen
it. I saw some points. Come on.
You did not.
I sure did. Okay. But, I don't want to tell you where I saw it, but I did.
But no one's seen her lose.
Yeah.
Right? You haven't seen her lose a match, right? She's had to withdraw, and there was a walkover after that. But other than that, she has not lost a match on the court. So we're talking about somebody, Indian Wells is a big deal. You watch that. She won the tournament. She came back after the injury to Toronto and won the tournament. She plowed down everybody in front of her in the U.S. Open and won the tournament. She's going to lose eventually. And the WTA women's tennis at the top has been volatile. It's been a bit of a revolving door. If you'd ask, if we were having this conversation the morning after the Wimbledon final when Simona Halep played a perfect match and beat Serena in Wimbledon, you'd be saying, there you go. There's the best player in the world right now. She's also won before. Ash Barty won the French Open. The morning after the French Open, we'd probably think, boy, there's the new world number one, which she was and is. Mm-hmm. So I think she's going to have a long and fantastic career. I think she has the game to do this, to win more Grand Slams. I think she's got a game that it's going to be tough for anybody on the women's tour to deal with. But there are going to be dips, and she is going to lose, and she might not go to Melbourne in January and roll through the field and win the Australian Open. This moment is as fun as anything. The Raptors thing was fun. This is almost on that level fun. I think it's great. Everybody is seeing, experiencing a 19-year-old who's kind of, herself still. She hasn't been doing this long enough to kind of work up a bunch of cliches. I think it's great, and let's all enjoy it. And then we'll see where it goes. And again, I'm not predicting doom and gloom in any way. I think she's got as long as she stays healthy, she has the possibility to be a world number one and to win a bunch more of these and to have a 10-year career doing this. Maybe not a 20-year career like Serena, but a 10-year career. But there will be some dips along the way. And again, if you follow the women's game at all, the one thing you know is that outside of Serena when she's healthy, flip a coin. No one has established himself in that spot the way we've seen on the men's side.
As soon as we saw Bianca find her success, it was immediately, okay, what's the better accomplishment? Does this stack up to the Raptors championship? Does this match and supersede Mike Weir winning the Masters? Where is she in comparison to Brooke Henderson, Donovan Bailey? Why are we as sports fans dead set on pitting these accomplishments against each other? Is it just something wrong with our genetics? Because things just can't stand alone as amazing accomplishments in their own right.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's kind of human nature to kind of say which moment is better and what made you feel better. They're all of those things are, you could go through the reasons why they're all different. I just keep going back to this one, going back to the fact that, in all of those cases, you could kind of see something coming or you could anticipate with some certainty that, Mike Weir in mid-career, having won tournaments, would have a shot to win a Masters, and if he had his best weekend, he might win the Masters. Donovan Bailey was one of the fastest men in the world at the time when he won the gold medal in Atlanta. Ben Johnson in 88, who we don't talk about, but it actually should talk mm-hmm. about on that list, was the world record holder and the world champion. You kind of knew he had a shot to win in Seoul. You didn't necessarily know he'd run 9.79. And the Raptors was a slow build through the season, right, where from the day the Kawhi trade happened, you're kind of thinking, what could happen here? The difference with this one is just it happened so fast. And I don't think until the Toronto tournament, until the Rogers Cup, mm-hmm. I'm not sure it dawned on anybody that Bianca Andreescu could win the U.S. Open. And that was a month ago. So that's the difference, is that this one, the whole story here has happened in 6 months. And I can't think of another one like that.
Stephen Brunt's joining us. And the last thing on this is she feels like she'll be out there. You mentioned the personality. Mike Weir was... That felt like a lottery ticket. He won the Masters at 33, was in the prime of Tiger Woods' career. Phil Mickelson was about to start winning a bunch of majors, and he didn't do it in his early 20s, like, say, Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy. And Mike seemed more, how would you say, you know, shy, reticent, hesitant to... He wasn't going to go on Jimmy Fallon, right? He wasn't going to go dancing with the stars someday like Bianca might do. He's not doing that stuff.
No, that would not be Mike Weir. None of those things would be Mike Weir. You're correct. She's personality-wise, yeah. It just feels young and fresh and new and unaffected. I guess that's the word I keep coming back to, kind of unaffected, that it hasn't, maybe by the end of this week after the private jet rides and the Jimmy Fallons and the endless interviews and God knows what people are offering her right now in terms of endorsements. Look, it would turn my head. I don't know if it's going to turn her head. As her coach said, she's going to go right back to work and play in Beijing. So it's not like she's going to take a long break here. It'll never, whatever she does, like she could win, she could win the calendar Grand Slam some year, but it won't feel like this. That's why, I think just, let's, I kind of feel like we're enjoying it along with her, and that's very cool.